One by one, we broke each vow we made. It was you who lied, it was me who paid.
As sure as there's a heaven beyond the sun,
we'll pay for our lies one by one.
My plans and hopes have tumbled down. My castle of dreams plunged to the ground.
How can you face me after what you've done? You've shattered my dreams one by one.
This is One by One, a song from Laura Cantrell's most recent recording, Kitty Wells Dresses, Songs of the Queen of Country Music, a tribute to the country music great. Miss Cantrell is a fixture of the New York country scene, especially here in New York, where she's hosted WFMU's Radio Thrift Shop. She contributes pieces to Vanity Fair and the New York Times Magazine, and she's currently in a Thursday night residency at Hill Country Live in Midtown. Kitty Wells Dresses is her seventh record as a leader, and I'm very pleased that it's brought her to our show, back to our show, and she's brought along her guitarist, Mark Spencer. Welcome.
Hi.
A song called Kitty Wells Dresses is the title and opening track, and one of the lines in it is, Kitty Wells Dresses weren't made of satin or silk from Paris. Everyone knows they're the robes of the queen. So tell us a bit about Kitty Wells. She, in her heyday, she was one of the biggest stars in country music, and now she's probably not remembered as well as some of her contemporaries like Patsy Cline and Loretta Lynn.
Yes, she was actually kind of a half a generation earlier than Patsy Cline. She first became successful in the early 1950s and was the first true success story in terms of selling records for a female artist in country music. So up until the time that she had her big hit, It Wasn't God Who Made Honky Tonk Angels, and then subsequently sustained that success over several other hits and records, there was a maxim in country music that women couldn't sell records consistently. So she really was the person who changed that rule and showed that it was just a bias.
But she didn't have as dramatic a life as Loretta Lynn, and she didn't die tragically.
That's right.
As Patsy Cline. And so because of that, she just had a career for a time, and then new people came along and replaced her?
Well, it's more so she actually had great longevity in her career. She was recording and touring up until almost the mid-90s, if you can believe that or not. She's 92 now herself. Her last records, I think, were released in the early 80s. But she was, for all of the, almost any artist in country music, she had one of the longest spans of recording. As a recording artist, she made something like 50 albums. But ironically, as you mentioned, there isn't a great amount of drama in her story, other than the desire to record and perform, which she was very successful at. So her records are less remembered now.
Do you remember the first time you heard her music?
Well, I remember her sort of, it's almost a pre-memory for me, because my family, my father's family particularly, were all from West Tennessee, and they really grew up steeped in the Grand Ole Opry and were regular Opry listeners every Saturday night. And Kitty was their artist. She was sort of their generation. And so all my early memories of Kitty Wells are also associated with that family living out in rural West Tennessee.
Now, you could have done just a total tribute album here, but you did compose a song, Kitty Wells Dresses. How did that come about?
Well, actually, the Country Music Hall of Fame in Nashville had asked me to do a performance there that was based around Kitty Wells' music. They had a featured sort of exhibition for her. She was one of the first female artists that they dedicated a total exhibition to a couple of years ago, and they asked me to come and do a performance, and I thought that would be a good occasion to write a song. And that's how Kitty Wells Dresses, the song, came about. And after that performance, actually, when I had learned those tunes with a band down there, it occurred to me that we should just record it to document the occasion. And from there, the idea to make a real record came about.
Well, can you perform it for us now?
I would love to do it.
Yeah. One, two, three. Thank you.
Silk from Perry, but everyone knows they were robes of the queen. Kitty Wells dresses, robes of the queen, from five and dime fabric, every girl's dream. Oh, Martha Carson and Mother Maybelle, June and Anita, and Helen as well, strode into the spotlight, song on their lips, those petticoats swaying all around the hills. They left the crowd. Mobile to Memphis, every girl's dream. Out in East Nashville, little sewing. The featherweight humming from morning till noon. Radio on the counter, playing, making believe, making Kitty Wells dresses, robes of the queen.
Kitty Wells dresses, robes of the queen. A modern day woman, no fashion dream.
Now I've seen the photo in black gabardine, high heel and a handbag, robes of the queen.
Laura Cantrell singing her song, Kitty Wells Dresses, from her new CD, or I don't know what we call them CDs anymore because so much of it is downloaded from the internet, but it's on Diesel Only Records, accompanied by Mark Spencer, who joined her in the harmonies. You mentioned that you wrote that song partly because you were asked by the Country Music Hall of Fame to work on a project. Didn't you work as a tour guide for the Country Music Hall of Fame when you were a kid?
Yes, I did. When I was in high school, actually the year I graduated from high school, I was a summer tour guide at Studio B in Nashville.
And then you got to perform on the stage of the Grand Ole Opry?
I did. I actually was just at the Grand Ole Opry this past Christmas Eve playing this song and sending that out to Kitty and her family.
The Grand Ole Opry for many years didn't allow anything but traditional instruments. No drums, in fact, for a long time. And much of the instrumentation on this record is traditional country acoustic and pedal steel guitars, fiddle, upright bass. You do have a little bit of percussion. Also part of your tribute to the way Kitty Wells performed?
Well, definitely wanted to. This was also the first time I recorded in Nashville, and I got to draw upon the body of knowledge of how to play this music amongst young players down there. So that was a great, great fun for me. And I thought that would be also part of the way we would pay tribute. But we didn't want to make it a museum piece. We wanted to have kind of a contemporary spirit to it, but kind of playing it the old way and recording it the old way too.
Have you done things backward? You came here from Nashville,
yes,
recorded here, and then finally did a record in Nashville?
Yes, I think my parents and many of my friends might think that I could have just stayed and done all this down there. But
you probably would have become a lawyer.
Exactly.
You went to law school, didn't you?
I didn't go to law school, but both my parents were from the legal trade. So, yes.
Now, did you show this song, Kitty Wells Dresses, to Kitty Wells and her husband, Johnny Wright, before he died?
I did. I was able to have it. A friend of mine actually was there for their 4th of July party a couple of summers ago and played the song for them. And then I subsequently got to go visit them and talk to them about the song and the fact that I'd recorded several other songs of hers for a tribute album. And it was so interesting. They really wanted to hear what songs I'd chosen and why, and were interested that I liked some of Johnny's songs that he'd written for her as well.
Well, he wrote some of the biggest hits in country music, didn't he?
Well, his band, Johnny Jack and the Tennessee Mountain Boys, also very underrated, I think now, for their amount of influence. They're a very often covered group and sadly not in the Country Music Hall of Fame. So in a way, in choosing to pay homage to Kitty, I was also paying homage to their partnership as artists in this from that time.
You're going to sing another song? You're going to sing something by Johnny Wright?
Actually, we're going to sing Kitty's first big hit, which is It Wasn't God Who Made Honky Tonk Angels. Uh-huh. And the interesting story about this, though, is that Johnny, as Kitty's husband and also an artist who had a recording career, when this was a big hit and they were told that it would just be a fluke and that they wouldn't be able to sustain it, it was really up to Johnny to say, well, why not? Why couldn't we try to sustain it? So I think that's part of the reason she's underestimated, is because he's underestimated, too. You know, the fact that they did that together. So, but we'll do this one. The old It Wasn't God Who Made Honky Tonk Angels.
As I sit here tonight, the jukebox playing the tune about the wild sighing light. As I listen to the words that you are saying, it brings memories of when I was trusting wise. It wasn't God who made honky-tonk angels, like he said in the words of your song. Too many times married men think they're still single. That has caught many a good girl to go wrong. Women, it's not true that only you men feel the same. 'Cause from the start, most every heart that's ever broken was because there always was a man to blame. It wasn't God angels, like you said in the words of your song. Too many times married men think they're still single. That has caused many a good girl to go wrong.
Laura Cantrell singing the Kitty Wells classic, Honky Tonk Angels, accompanied fabulously on Bottleneck by Mark Spencer, who also sang the harmonies. We don't have a lot of time, but you have had a radio show. You've taken a bit of a hiatus.
I do. I have a five-year-old daughter who's now in public school kindergarten in Queens, and I decided that this year it would be a good time to get a little bit more active and putting this tribute record out on the way to making a record of my own original material, and playing more has been all on the docket for me.
Will you be returning back to FMU with the Radio Thrift
Shop? I would love to. I haven't figured out a way. You know, Radio Thrift Shop was a Saturday afternoon staple. It's kind of a family day now, so...
And now you're also performing on Thursday nights.
That's right.
At Hill Country.
That's right.
Is that the best venue for country music in New York?
You know, there are a lot of great venues. I think country music is now kind of popping up across a lot of different, you know, large and small venues in New York. So it's one of the good ones.
Well, I've often thought about the fact that we had a country music radio station, had the largest country audience in the United States years back, but it had to drop the format because it was one of the least listened to in New York. We just have such a large population.
Right.
But there are a lot of country music fans.
Absolutely true. A lot of country music fans in New York City always have been. I think there always will be. And, you know, the country music story in New York, it changes, you know, subtly over the years. But it's been interesting here to be a part of it and a witness to it over a couple decades.
So you're going to be at Hill Country just on Thursday nights for how long?
We've done a residency in the month of February. We're actually closing up this Thursday. Will be our last one for this run. And then we hope to do it again in the future.
And meanwhile, we're going to go out with another track from the new CD called Kitty Wells Dresses, Songs of the Queen of Country Music on
Diesel Only Records.
Thank you so much, Laura Cantrell
Thank
and
you,
Mark Spencer, for being with us today.